WIE Unbound presents Ripples on the Surface of Being, an interview with Eckhart Tolle, part two.
All right, so the third question. In your own experience, is the world real? Is the world unreal? Both?
Right. Many people read in a book that Indian sage says the world is unreal, then that becomes a belief, and then they repeat it, and they have discussions with others who say, no, no, this is obviously wrong, the world is real. So it's... all I can talk about is from my own experience of how I perceive that, and that is... Even when I'm, let's say, when I'm interacting with people or walking in a city, doing ordinary things, there's always, the way I perceive the world is like ripples, and this is a way of putting it, ripples on the surface of being. Underneath the world of sense perceptions and the world of mind activity, there's the vastness of being, there's a vast spaciousness, there's a vast stillness, and there happens, there's a little rippled activity on the surface, which isn't separate, just like the ripples are not separate from the ocean. So there is no separation. The way I perceive it, there's no separation between being and the manifested world. In other words, between the manifested and the unmanifested. But the unmanifested is so much vaster and deeper and greater than what happens in the manifested that whatever happens in the manifested is so fleeting, every phenomenon in the manifested is so short-lived and fleeting that yes, one could almost say that from the perspective of the unmanifested, which is the timeless beingness or presence, all that happens in the manifested realm really seems quite, it's a play of shadows, or it seems a vapor or a mist, continuously new forms arising and disappearing. So the one who is deeply rooted in the unmanifested, to that being, the manifested could very easily be called unreal. I don't call it unreal because I see it is not separate from anything.
So it is real.
All that is real is beingness itself. Consciousness is all there is,
because
pure consciousness.
You're saying, so therefore you're saying the definition of real would be
not
free from birth and death.
That's right.
So that so only that which was not born and cannot die,
yes,
would be real.
Yes.
And since the manifest world is ultimately not separate from the unmanifest, according to what you're saying, ultimately one would have to say it's real.
Yes, and even within every form, and every form that is subject to birth and death, there is, the essence of every form is the deathless.
Yes.
Even the essence of a blade of grass is the deathless.
Yes.
And that's why even the world of form is sacred. It's not that the realm of the sacred is exclusively being or the unmanifested. Even the world of form, I see it as sacred.
Okay, so someone simply asked you, very straightforward, is the world real or unreal? Would you say it was simply real, or would you have to qualify the statement?
I would probably qualify the statement. It's a temporary manifestation of the real.
Okay. If the world is a temporary manifestation of the real. What is the enlightened relationship to the world?
Right. So to the unenlightened, the world is all there is.
Yes.
There is nothing else. And so because the world is all there is to the unenlightened consciousness, the world holds enormous promise and poses a great threat at the same time.
Mm.
And so that is the dilemma of the unenlightened consciousness, is that it is torn between seeking, because seeking fulfillment, that's the promise of the world, seeking fulfillment in and through the world, and being threatened by it continuously, and knowing that, hoping that they will find themselves in it, and at the same time knowing that the world is going to kill them. And that's the state of continuous conflict,
yes,
that the unenlightened consciousness is condemned to, being torn, because that ultimately what it means is desire and fear.
Exactly.
Being torn continuously between desire and fear.
Yes.
Dreadful fate.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the enlightened consciousness is rooted in the unmanifested, really, ultimately, is one with it. It knows itself to be that. It is the unmanifested, one could almost say it is the unmanifested looking out.
Mm.
Even with a simple thing like perceiving visually a form, a flower, a tree, perceiving that in a state of great alertness and deep stillness, at that moment already, it's the unmanifesting is. You are not a person anymore at that moment. The unmanifested is perceiving itself in form, and it is always a sense of goodness in that perception. And then to be rooted continuously in that, not only as far as sense perceptions are concerned, but also in one's interactions with people, whenever action arises, never losing touch with the realm of vast stillness, that is the unmanifested consciousness. So any action arises then out of that, and it has a completely different quality to it than action that arises out of the unenlightened consciousness, which is the human mind, which needs something and seeks something and needs to protect itself. And that is really where those intangible and precious qualities come in that we call love, joy, peace. They are all one with the unmanifested. They arise out of that. They're just there's no love and joy and peace are possible for those to whom the world is all there is. They may talk about it, they may seek it, they may try to be loving, but it doesn't work. Many Christians have done that because they read the scriptures, you must love your neighbor. Okay, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
So then it is possible to, for a human being to be a blessing on the earth, a human being who lives in connectedness with that, and then acts and interacts, that human being becomes a blessing on the planet. Whereas the unenlightened human is very heavy on the planet. There's a heaviness to the unenlightened, and the planet is suffering. The planet is suffering from that, from millions of unenlightened humans.
It's true.
And the planet is, the burden on the planet is almost too much to bear. I can sometimes feel it as the planet saying, oh, no more of this.
It's literally true.
Yeah.
So the simple answer to the question could be said that the enlightened manifest, the enlightened relationship to the world would occur naturally as long as one never lost touch with one's true nature.
Yes.
Which is the unmanifest self.
Yes, that's right. And then also you don't need... You don't need to live by principles anymore then, because right action arises out of that.
Spontaneously.
Yeah.
That's rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Do you think that it's possible for spiritual practice, meditation, being in the now or whatever, to ever begin to yield the depth of understanding that has the power to truly liberate the individual from their attachment to the world, unless that practice occurs, unless the meditation occurs on a firm foundation of liberating insight? In other words, can spiritual practice ever become truly deep and have the power to liberate unless one has already given up the world, at least to some degree?
So first I would say that no spiritual practice as such would ever get you there. It can be helpful,
yes,
but in itself it would not be enough. And in some cases, spiritual practice doesn't happen at all. It is with any spiritual practice in the narrow sense of the word, a technique or a method, that would be the narrow sense of the word spirit, but that is not your question. But I'll just mention this briefly.
Okay.
Spiritual practice in the narrow sense of the word would gives you time, because you need to practice it, become good at it.
Right.
And so that in itself has its own built-in obstacle that would make sure that it doesn't work for you, because you're given time, you're striving, it's a movement in time.
I understand.
Becoming a good meditator. It's only when there's complete surrender.
Yes.
To the now, to what is.
Yes.
Only then is liberation. Now, I do not believe that a practice would take you into complete surrender. Complete surrender happens usually through one's through living. Something happens. Your very life is the practice, is the ground where that happens. And then surrender for some people may not be complete. There may be a partial surrender, and then there may be an opening, and then they may engage in spiritual practice. And then the spiritual practice is, of course, much more effective than for a person who perhaps even goes to a spiritual practice for self-seeking reason. So if there has already been partial surrender, and then they engage in spiritual practice, that would increase the effectiveness of the spiritual practice. But even then,
okay,
I do not believe that the practice would take you into total surrender. That is inseparable from your life. That is, your life is the practice for that. If a spiritual practice may help you a little while along the way, then it's relinquished. For true surrender to happen, even the spiritual practice needs to be relinquished. Mm-hmm. In some cases, the surrender happens without any practice.
Happened
to me. That is possible too. So, no spiritual practice, whether the spiritual practice comes after a certain degree of insight or surrender has already happened, even if the spiritual practice comes in, then it in itself, the practice alone, even then, won't do it. Surrender can happen to the most unlikely people. it can happen.
Yes, that's true. But the thing is, this is specifically. Let me. I mean, I agree with you completely. This is just that. I mean, this is something I found in my own work. Yeah. Is that basically that unless spiritual experience, because people can have all kinds of spiritual experience, but unless the world has been seen through, yeah, to a certain degree, and unless there is a willingness based on that seeing through to let go of it,
yes,
that the spiritual experience, no matter how powerful it is not going to lead to any kind of liberation.
That's right.
That's basically my question.
That's right. And the willingness to let go is surrender.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's right. And that remains the key. Without that, no amount of practice or even spiritual experience.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same thing. Because the point is, as you yourself know, a lot of people are, I want to, meditate or do whatever. But they're... spiritual aspirations are not based on any willingness to let go of anything substantial.
That's right. In fact, it may be the opposite. A spiritual practice may be trying to find something new to identify with.
Yeah, of course, right.
Yeah.
But that was basically the point.
Yes. So
we basically agree.
Yes.
And in the context of the world, the real spiritual practice, the real spiritual experience would ultimately, is meant to lead one to the letting go of the world, the transcendence of the world, the relinquishment of the attachment to the world, etc.
Yes. And now in concrete terms, what that means, because sometimes people may say, well, how do you get to that? It sounds wonderful, but how do you get there? In concrete terms, that simply means, and this is, I want to put it in words that everybody can understand, that is the simple... and we can't call that practice because it's too simple for that. Mm. It is the most basic. At its most basic, it is simply to say yes to this moment is the state of surrender. A total yes to what is. Not the inner no to what is. And the complete yes to what is transcendence of the world. It's as simple as that. A total openness to whatever arises at this moment. The usual state of consciousness for humans is to resist, to run away from it, to deny, to resist it, not to look at it.
So when you say being yes, you mean not avoiding anything, facing everything?
That's right.
Okay. And there's nothing necessarily to do with action?
No.
Okay.
Welcoming this moment.
Not resisting it at all?
That's right.
Okay.
Embracing this moment. And that is the state of surrender.
Okay.
And that is really all that's needed. The only difference between a master and a non-master is that the master embraces what is totally. Mm. And immediately, when there's non-resistance to what is, there's a peace. The portal is open. The unmanifested is there. That is the most powerful way.
Yeah. Good. We did it.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed it. I did.
I did. Thank you.